This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Good morning, America. How are you?
And now, from the studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense, the only show dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America, class is now in session. Right here, right now. Let's welcome this week's host.
Hey, Jim Brown here today on the Common Sense Show with my sidekick, Leo Honeycutt. Leo, we got a full weekend going on. Got so much to talk about with the flooding and over in Houston and what's going on throughout the world. We'll talk on the next hour. But something we mentioned a good bit is fairness within the judicial system. And I want to have an author on who's written a very popular book. J.B. Sims is an author that lives in South Carolina. He's wrote an award-winning book called Don't Get Arrested in South Carolina. And his new book out is called Incest Within the Criminal Justice Family. It is a look at not only prosecutors, but bail bondsmen, defense lawyers. And according to J.B., there are some real major problems of getting a fair shake in the criminal justice system in America today. Hey, J.B., glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Good morning, Jim.
Glad to have you on, and I wish you'd give a little overview of that. You know, the average person who's never had any run-in with the criminal justice system says, well, you know, judges are doing what they're supposed to do, and the prosecutors are locking up the bad guys, and everything's fine. Until they get touched through a family member or someone they know, a friend, who often can see that there are some injustices in the system, and you write a lot about that. Give our listeners a little overview, if you will, about how you view the criminal justice system today.
I mean, a little background. I was a private investigator for 25 years and continued to do some problem solving for people. And I was involved in the criminal justice system as a PI, as well as a bail bondsman for years. The criminal justice system, it subjects people like it's like a child getting a driver's license to a car. You've got blinders on. You go straight. You have no idea what's going on. Things are said, things are done that you don't question because it's not that you just don't trust the people. You don't know enough to ask questions about why things happen and this sort of thing. And you either become a victim or you become part of the criminal justice family. And that's just the way it is.
Well, give me a few examples, if you will, because you say a victim. I mean, as I say, I think the average listener out there thinks that, you know, they pick up the paper where someone's committed a robbery or murder or something like that, and they get taken, get a long sentence in jail, and the system works. Give us some examples of how you've seen personally that the system doesn't always work.
Let's say, for instance, someone gets arrested and the prosecutor doesn't have a very good case, but he makes a deal with the defense attorney to get a plea. And if his client, the defendant, doesn't know that he has a very good case in order to beat this thing, the defense attorney can make a deal with the prosecutor saying, look, I'll serve my man up to you. I'll get him to take a plea. You'll get a conviction. I get paid. And he goes on. But the fact of the matter is the charges weren't right. I've seen so many things where defendants come in, and if you don't have any money, you become victimized. And that's an old story about, you know, money buys justice. I tell the story about it. Client of mine who was a moonshiner, funny man, hilarious guy. He made 300 gallons of moonshine a week. And he'd been busted a few times. The last time the law enforcement division landed a helicopter in his backyard. Well, anyway, he told me the time before the last arrest, he gave his lawyer $10,000 in cash. And, excuse me, $20,000. And that money was split between the lawyer and the prosecutor, and the man never served a day in jail.
Mm.
That's what that happens.
Well, of course, the system says that if someone compromises you, that the bar association is supposed to look out after the lawyers, and the court system is supposed to oversee and be sure it's run fairly. You're saying that's not the case.
I'm saying that, of course, bar associations, of course, the National, the American Bar Association has no leverage whatsoever. They can promote policy if they want. But they don't have any enforcement power. The locals, the state bar associations, are so caught up in their own political agendas that it's all a little boy system, and that's nationwide. That's not just in the South. There's so few prosecutors they get prosecuted for prosecutorial misconduct. A prosecutor can go into a courtroom and lie, and that sounds very simplistic, but they can go in there and lie and nothing happens. They've got immunity in the courtroom.
If a defense lawyer or if the defendant gives false lies, they can be charged with false statements and go to jail, but the prosecutor lies, they're completely immune from anything, aren't they?
Absolutely. There's two types of immunity. There's qualified immunity and absolute immunity. The prosecutor wears two hats. The prosecutor can either be an investigator before a warrant is issued during the investigative process, or they could be an advocate of the public, which means after the warrant has been issued, the person's arrested, they become the advocate, which means they advocate penalties against the person that was arrested. And there are different levels of immunity for the prosecutor with respect to qualified immunity and absolute immunity. So the nobody ever enforces those things. The judges ignore it. Defense attorneys ignore it because the defense attorneys have to work with the prosecutor in order to get plea deals for themselves.
On the next case they have, and the case after, and so.
Of course.
Well, J.D., why did you decide to write a book about all this? Your book is packed with all kinds of examples of prosecutors crossing the line and the system being corrupt. Why did you write a book in the first place?
In my experience, as a PI all those years, I did both criminal defense work. I also helped with law enforcement agencies to arrest people. When the bail bond company asked me to help them find their people, they asked me to become licensed, and I did, so I picked up fugitives too. The thing that irritated me was when I saw the conflict between these different agencies, what they do for each other, the background deals, how they play each other off. That's what I call it incest. They're all in bed together. But people don't see what goes on. I'll give you an example. Once in the book, there's the prosecutors controlled who gets expedited from one state to another. Let's figure a witness, a fugitive goes to another state. If they don't want to extradite that fugitive, if the prosecutor and the law enforcement decide not to expedite the fugitive, even though he's been found in another state, he won't be expedited. And the prosecutor controls whether or not these warrants are put into NCIC. And if it's not an NCIC, you can go from Louisiana, you can be arrested in Louisiana and go to Idaho and get arrested on a traffic stop in Idaho or breaking and entering. And if the information is not in the NCIC, Idaho doesn't know it.
What is NCIC? What is that?
The National Crime Information Center is a database.
JB, that music tells us that we're out of time. I want to come back and give you back again. I got so many more questions. The book is, you can find the book on Amazon.com. You can find it on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. You got a website, JB, where people can go to?
Yes, they can go to. They can either Google my name, JB Sims, that's I MMS, or go to Eric, Eric Publishing. ericpublishing.com.
Ericpublishing.com. Well, we'll talk about it some more and have you back some more because it's a subject that is very prominent right now of prosecutors way overreaching, and we need to crack down a lot more. JB, have a great weekend. Sure glad you had us on the Common Sense. We had you on the Common Sense Show today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Be right back.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Join the club. That's the Cajun Mike Cooking Club for only $9.95 per month. You'll learn how to cook Cajun. Just think, iconic, authentic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and red beans and rice from a real New Orleans Cajun. Cajun Mike will also reveal other secret family recipes that up until now have never been revealed to the public. As a VIP member, you'll receive a couple of authentic Cajun and Creole recipes a month, a step-by-step instruction video, access to our weekly conference calls where you can ask Cajun Mike any question or comment about the recipe. Did I also mention about our product discounts? That's only available to our VIP members. So what are you waiting for? To become a Cajun Mike Cooking Club member, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. Or call Cajun Mike at 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. 855-785-0222. Cookingwithcajun.com. Cajun, right at your doorstep.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Leo, I've always wanted to have a parrot. And this is Jim Brown, the Common Sense Show here with Leo Honeycutt. I've always wanted to have a parrot. I just thought I'd like to have a big macaw that could talk.
Hello!
That's right. Here's a story about a woman who's in White Cloud, Michigan. We've got a lot of listeners up in Michigan. She was sentenced to life in prison for the shooting death of her husband in a crime apparently witnessed by the man's parents. She got her sentence found guilty.
She killed him in front of the parrot?
Well, and the parrot said,
what are you doing?
Oh, the parrot says repeatedly, and he uses a four-letter word I won't use, but don't blank shoot, don't blank shoot, don't blank shoot, the parrot kept saying, which is what the parrot's owner was saying to his wife as she's getting ready to shoot him.
Oh.
So if you got a parrot, you better be careful what you say in front of the parrot, because this lady in White Cloud.
You're telling me the parrot now is the lead witness for the prosecution? The
lead witness was a parrot, and the judge said that's okay, and the parrot testimony of the parrot ends up sending the lady to jail for the rest of her life. So
you're kidding.
That's right. That's right.
What are you in for? Oh, a parrot. Squealed on me.
Damn parrot squealed on me. Oh, man.
That's crazy.
All right. Here's a very warm story. Fort Walton and Pensacola and Fort Walton, you folks along the Florida coast know, are great military bases over there. And there was a special forces soldier who's from Fort Walton, Georgia, rather Fort Walton, Florida. He was deployed to Afghanistan. And before he left, he promised his adopted daughter that he would be home for her high school graduation in Fort Walton. Well, Leo, he didn't make it. He was killed in Afghanistan. But she went to graduation here. They had a late graduation this year. In the audience were 80 U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers from her dad's unit. They were in full parade dress uniform. They brought their families to be with him as well. And as this young lady, this young daughter, ascended the steps to the stage to receive her diploma, they all silently stood up. And when she presented her diploma, they all cheered, clapped, and whistled, and a lot of them cried. Everyone in attendance then stood up and cried and cheered also. And she graduated, and yes, she lost her dad, but she had 80 other dads that were there with her. Isn't that a great story?
Mm-hmm.
Great story over in Fall. Mm-hmm. Our listeners over
there. It just shows the cost.
We're going to, by the way, in the next segment, following this segment, we're going to talk to the former chief foreign policy advisor to President George Bush, Elliot Abrams. He's just written a new book about realism and democracy, and we're going to talk about foreign policy and this very thing about soldiers being killed overseas, setting priorities, what do we do, how involved do we become. And that's a tough question, because you and I were talking off the air before. We're spending billions and billions of dollars fighting these skirmishes. Now we're in the North Korean conflict, which we've got to deal with. I understand.
Yeah, they just set off what they said was a hydrogen bomb last night, which measured about 6.2 on the Richter scale.
Unbelievable.
And now President Trump has just tweeted a few minutes ago. He says that all this appeasement's not going to work. He says that North Korea has conducted the major tests. Their words and actions continue to be very hostile and dangerous to the United States. South Korea is finding, as I have told them, that their talk of appeasement with North Korea will not work. They only understand one thing.
Well, but the one thing is violence, attacking, military confrontation. When North Korea has nuclear weapons, does this... What is the one thing that President Trump wants them to do? Do we invade? And then they've got rockets lined up all along the coast. Do we sacrifice 500,000 South Koreans or allow them to attack Japan?
You have to look at the mind behind North Korea. Kim Jong-un is an idiot. He's a spoiled brat kid who came up in a dictatorship, and he inherited it from his father. In fact, he was apparently such a rogue that his father, before he died in 2011, set up a 2009 wedding so the kid would get married and have another kid that could take on the tradition. He forced his son into a marriage so that he would have a kid. So it tells you that their relationship probably was not the best, but this is the way he... And you look at him now, and he looks like he's crazy, and he's acting crazy.
Look, I fully agree with you. I guess what are we... The options are... Just try to buy some time, hopeful that China will come in, and that's North Korea's biggest trading partner is China, that China will put the squeeze and try to hold them back. or do we go ahead and take the first strike option, which a number of people are calling for, and hope that not too many people are killed with that first strike option?
If one person's killed as a result of that idiot, it would be too much.
So you're between a rock and a hard place, and we'll talk to Elliot Abrams about that here later on here in this hour, because I wanted to get his take on this, because that was his job under the first Bush administration in terms of trying to put some semblance and sense in all this. So, Leo, let's go back to being politically correct again. I did a little research on Amerigo Vespucci. America was named after him. Great history by Christopher Columbus, as we all know. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He discovered America. Didn't really discover North America, what we consider America. Got into Central America. But he didn't write about it. He was looking after the financial well-being. Queen Isabella, and went back and
King Ferdinand. Yeah.
Okay. But he didn't write and didn't get a lot of publicity. Back then, you didn't have the internet or newspapers, and so it was hard to get the word out. Well, the second explorer that came about 2 years later was Amerigo Vespucci, another Italian. He comes in and writes extensively about his discovery of the New World. So a German map maker, Martin van Wallemuller, he was going to make a
say that again?
Wallemuller.
Okay.
He was going to make a map of the New World, and he and his scholarly partners used Vespucci's writings to kind of concept what the world was going to be.
Right.
And right across the center, he calls it America, is what he calls it.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should have been Columbia, but it should have been America. Well, why I bring this up was I saw the mayor of New York City wants to change the name of Columbus Circle because Columbus was a slave trader, and that would be inappropriate, so they want to change the name up there. That's been the big thing in the New York papers.
I didn't realize that. Columbus was a slave trader?
He was a slave trader. Amerigo Vespucci was also a slave trader. He traded. So I guess my point is, look, here you can see, deeply mirrored in the slave trade and profited from it. Mm-hmm. This is, go to any number of sources on the internet. Point I'm making is, then do we change the name of America? What do you want to call it? We call it Leo, or what do you want to call it?
No.
Leo USA?
No. You know, and the strange quirks and twists of history is that if Columbus had turned right when he got to what's now Cuba and Santo Domingo, if he had turned right instead of left, America would now be Portuguese and Spanish.
That's right. That's right. That's where the discovery would have come from.
Right.
The other explorers. So, I'm just saying the name now, America, and then it's the roll of the dice, and history is so fascinating in terms of woulda, coulda, shoulda,
yeah,
and what could have happened along those lines. And we're going to come back and talk to Elliot Abrams, former advisor to George Bush, the first George Bush, in his new book, Realism and Democracy, and asking these questions about how we handle North Korea. Our website is radiocommonsense.com, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, Tom, we talk about world events a good bit and the fact that the instability we find in many parts of the world, North Korea is on the front burner right now, but there's been this continuing uprisings and instability within the Middle East that is certainly a concern, cost us billions of dollars in Afghanistan and Iraq and dealing with other countries. I'm not sure the future, are we right in trying to impose democracy there? Is the presence justified? There's a new book out called Realism and Democracy. It's by a very well-known gentleman called Elliot Abrams. He's now a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council of Foreign Relations in New York. But he served as Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights under Ronald Reagan and a Deputy National Security Advisor in the administration of George Bush, where he handled the Middle East. He's got a pretty good handle on this. I'd say he's about as big an expert as you can get. And I want to talk to you about some of these very issues. Mr. Abrams, welcome to the Common Sense Show. Glad to have you here on the show today.
Glad to be on with you.
Tell us, if you will, now you've written a number of books, and I followed your career when you were with both the Reagan White House and the Bush White House. Let me start off and kind of ask you a very pointed question about the Arab Spring. Am I wrong in profiling President Bush? And your views, to some degree, is that we have an obligation to be in the Middle East. We have an obligation to pursue a democratic governments, and that should be an ongoing focus for us. And America should not back down and bring in its horns and just hold on to its own borders. We should be a little bit more aggressive. Address that. Is that what you feel? Is that what America should be doing right now?
Well, I wouldn't use the word obligation, because that would suggest, you know, we have a kind of moral debt or obligation to do it. I think it's in our interest. This is where so much of the terrorism comes from. It would be nice maybe to be able to look away, but you know, they're going to come after us. We are still the targets of these terrorist groups, these jihadis. So I think we have a need to pay attention and to be involved.
Well, the Arab Spring, let's go back to when you were active in both the Reagan and Bush administrations. You went through Clinton. I think most of us, most Americans who aren't really extremely knowledgeable about the Middle East would say, well, we for years have shored up dictators there who have pretty much kept peace in that part of the world and were friends of the United States, so there was a barrier not to allow Russia to penetrate or Iran to come in. And so the Arab Spring has opened up those parts of the world, and now we're in a worse position today than we were 20 years ago because we encouraged the Arab Spring. Under the Obama administration, we encouraged the revolutions that took place and the opposition to these governments. Did we make a mistake in doing that, you think, or not?
I think you've got it wrong. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We supported a lot of these dictators. We didn't have anything to do with the Arab Spring. I mean, the Arab Spring started in Tunisia, and then it spread to Egypt and Libya and elsewhere, mostly because people were just rising up against rotten governments. I mean, rotten, brutal, illegitimate governments. And we did not start that. I mean, if anything, you know, we were sort of bending over backwards to cooperate with the dictators people were trying to get rid of. So I don't think we started it. I think our view was basically, look, these dictators are doing a pretty good job at keeping down, you know, jihadis and extremists. And I actually think that was a mistake, because I think what the dictators were doing was doing a pretty good job at crushing moderates, centrists, Democrats, and the the extremists, the jihadis, were festering in the mosques. You know, they were the ones who knew how to conspire. The, you know, your average moderate, sensible, decent citizen isn't going to go around conspiring at night. So I think this kind of, these tyrannies, these repressive, illegitimate governments are just kind of tailor-made for extremists to be able to organize and grow.
Where does the United States then fit in terms of our interest? Where do we go from here? Because you had this disruption. We have chosen to increase the troops in Afghanistan under President Trump. We have Iraq that's still a festering sore that could well explode again. So knowing that you have these uprisings, what does America do? Do we back away? Are we becoming more and more irrelevant in the Middle East in terms of other countries? What is our role that we'd like to see for our own self-interest?
Well, I think, you know, what we'd like to see ideally is we'd like to be less involved, right? We would like to have all those troops come home. But right now we can't do that. We can't do that because of the extent of the extremism and terrorist groups that come out of that region. I think what we should be doing is, you know, first protecting ourselves against the jihadis, and that means, frankly, the military. I mean, if somebody has already picked up arms and if they're organizing for terrorist attacks, there's nothing, you can't reason with them. The only thing you can do is, frankly, fight them, kill them, get them off the battlefield. But I think there's a second thing, which is we do have to ask about the conditions that produce all of this, that produce this kind of jihadi and extremist group. And I think we are paying some attention to that. I think, frankly, the Obama administration did not. And I hope the Trump administration will pay more attention, because you have to ask, what is producing this? Is there anything we can do to reduce that growing extremism in the region? We wish we didn't have to, but given that we are the targets of so much of this, we're going to have to remain involved. And sometimes what it means is telling the government there, look, what you're doing is going to produce more jihadis, not fewer jihadis, and you've got to clean up your act.
Where does the role of money play in terms of our huge financial investment in the Middle East? I picked up yesterday's local newspaper, and I see stories galore about Mathis begins sending troops to Afghanistan, seeking help from Afghanistan. U.S. holds up $255 million to Pakistan. Russia ordered to close San Francisco consulate. U.S. flies South Korea bomb drills in show of force. Financially, so all that costs money. Yep. All those actions cost billions and billions of dollars, and yet we're sitting here now looking after the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey that took place that's going to cost us well over $100 billion. The infrastructure's crumbling in this country. There are so many huge financial needs. How do you balance those interests when you're in the White House, as you were? Do we have to continue the investment level we have been undertaking in the Middle East and throughout the world? And can we financially do that?
Well, I think, we'd all like to do less of it. And there have been some things happening recently where we withheld funds. We withheld some from Pakistan. We have withheld some from Egypt. We've withheld some from the Palestinians. Basically, this is a matter of security, right? I mean, this is something that DOD and CIA are working on to try to prevent. You want to talk about expensive? The 9/11 attacks, billions and billions of dollars in losses to our economy. We don't want that to happen again. I do think that over time, we will be less interested in the Middle East. If the day comes when the jihadis are really on the run, the terrorists are really on the run, because our fundamental interest there has been oil for 100 years. And over time, we're going to be less dependent on Middle East oil. We're producing more oil, which means that as the decades go by, we should be able to reduce our involvement in the Middle East.
Mr. Abrams, can I hold you for one more segment? We've got to take a mandatory break right now, but if you could just stay with me, I'd like to get a couple more questions. I want to tell our listeners, we're talking to Elliot Abrams, former senior official in the White House, a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council of Foreign Relations. The book is fascinating, Realism and Democracy. You can find it on our website at radiocommonsense.com or also on amazon.com, Realism and Democracy. Let's take a break, freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back to make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation Analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're talking to Mr. Elliot Abrams. He's a fellow for the Middle Eastern Studies of the Council of Foreign Relations, but a major official in both the Reagan White House as well as the Bush administration, senior advisor there on foreign policy, written a great book called Realism and Democracy, which you can get on our website at radiocommonsense.com. That's Realism and Democracy, American Foreign Policy After the Arab Spring. Leo, you got a question for Mr. Abrams.
Yeah, Mr. Abrams, this is Leo Honeycutt. I was reading back over some of the information, and we were talking about we have to do certain things in order to try to keep peace in the entire world, and we've sort of become the police of the world. In fact, we have become. And so we kept the Shah of Iran in that power for about 20 years. And then, of course, there was a lashback from that. Then we wound up with the Ayatollah. We wound up with a jihad. And I don't see where this is really going to have a good ending. We've gone in there. We got Osama bin Laden, but it didn't really... You can't say that ISIS has slowed down any. I'm just wondering, what's the end game here, in your opinion?
Well, that's a very hard question. I'd say that, when you look at a case like the Shah, we were supporting the Shah, but the people of Iran weren't. So they finally rose up and got rid of him. And the tragedy, of course, is, what did they get in exchange? The Ayatollahs. And we've seen that happen a lot. In Egypt, they rose up against Mubarak, but they got the Muslim Brotherhood. In Cuba, yep. They rose up, and what did they get? Castro. And I think the common theme here is these dictators crush the center, the moderates, the decent, common-sense people, who would like to have a peaceful democracy. So one of the things I think we ought to be doing in these cases is trying to help these countries build a center, or trying to help the moderate centrist people survive so that when the time comes for a change in government, they can take over instead of the extremists, which has happened in so many cases. And these dictators are smart about it. They don't crush the extremes. They try to crush the center because they realize the center is the real enemy to them. You take somebody like Mubarak in Egypt, used to always say to us, it's me or the Muslim Brotherhood. It's me or the Muslim Brotherhood. And why was that? Mostly because he didn't crush the Muslim Brotherhood. He crushed the moderates, the centrists. so that he could say that to us and you know, and make that threat. So I think in the long run, the answer is, and it may unfortunately be a long run, for us to be trying to support moderate centrist governments, legitimate governments, it's a word I like to use, legitimate governments in the eyes of the people in all of those countries. And I just say one other thing. This is going to change for the better when someday, and maybe a year, and maybe 20 years, when someday the Islamic Republic of Iran falls. It'll fall someday, just like the Soviet Union fell. And that'll be a huge change in the Middle East to get rid of that vicious, brutal, anti-American regime.
So are we in a holding pattern until that happens, do you think? I mean, I say a holding pattern. We're just trying to kind of keep the keep the sparks from flying and try to keep as little violence as possible, or do we be more proactive?
No, I think that the word holding pattern isn't a bad one, because you've got the Iranians there, you've got the jihadis, and we have got to fight them. And it will be a couple more decades until we are really energy independent, the way we'd like to be, from the Middle East. So I don't see any huge changes if you say, you know, what will be different 3 or 5 years from now. I don't think there will be huge changes, but I think there will be an improvement over time and a reduction in the American need to spend the amounts of money and blood we're spending in that region.
Mr. Abrams, Leo Honeycutt again. I wanted to ask this, coming from the media side of this, because it seems like I'm reading more and more of this chatter about in some of our relationships with trying to appease, if in fact that is what we're trying to do, appease the extremists, that they're actually using our own system against us. In other words, they're out there trying to make a name for themselves so that they can rankle the all-powerful United States. So this is what they do, and they know they're going to get media attention for it. And that's what Kim Jong-un is doing right now in North Korea. So how do you get around that? You've dealt with this out of the White House. How is it that you can stop from them feeding their egos by trying to catch media attention and terrorizing the rest of the world?
Well, I think you have to distinguish. Some of it, as you say, is straight media, and it's an effort to get attention. And it doesn't really endanger us. And, you know, we should just kind of bite our lip and not respond to every insult. The Korean thing is different because he is developing nuclear weapons. And, you know, that will not only change Asia, that'll change the balance of power in the whole world. So that is really dangerous.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So how do you view what's happening with the Trump administration now in terms of their overview towards the Middle East? And I know that a number of people are actively supporting you to be part of the administration. And Tillerson now, the job he's doing, do you think we're on the right track nationally now? Or is the jury still out in terms of how effective the Trump administration is going to be?
I actually think the jury's still out. I mean, if you say, tell me what our policy toward Iran is, I'm not really sure I can answer that question. I thought we'd be tougher. I mean, when the president was elected, the Iranians stopped that business of circling our boats in the Persian Gulf, you know, dangerously going around and around them and trying to prevent them from moving. And they stopped on January 20th because they were afraid of the president, who had said, you do that when I'm president, we'll sink your boats. Well, he didn't, you know, and now it's September. And the Iranians are back to doing what they were doing, circling our boats and buzzing them. And we have not really responded much. I don't think policy is different. And we don't know. You know, it's coming up right now in September. October, the president's going to have to decide whether to certify that Iran is complying, you know, with Obama's nuclear deal or not. And I think that's the moment at which we'll be able to say, okay, now we understand Trump's Iran policy. But not yet.
Still some to go. And one more question to you. This term neocon is thrown around a whole lot. Is that just, are there a variety of neocon? Neocon wanting to get more involved in the world versus pulling back? Is that kind of a one brush paints all in the same amount? Are there degrees of neocons? How do you place you in that whole context?
Well, I plead guilty to being a neocon, but, you know, nowadays the term is usually used as an insult. I mean, if you want to say about somebody, all he wants to do is a warmonger, wants to get us involved in more wars in the Middle East, is a neocon. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense to use the term since it's basically just used as an insult. I think of it as meaning somebody who believes in America, believes in American power, likes to see the use of American power because he thinks it makes us safer and makes the world safer. But there's an element of principle here, too, because I think the neocons are usually more concerned about that question of legitimacy in other governments. That is, are they stable because they're legitimate in the eyes of their own people? If that legitimacy is lacking, you're going to get sooner or later what happened in Egypt, Libya, Syria, Tunisia. That is, the government just falls. The government collapses. The people rise up because they don't want that government. So I'd say neocons are more attuned to that kind of thinking. But I, you know, a neocon is a form of conservative, after all. And maybe the common denominator is a belief that the more American power there is, the better off we're going to be.
Okay. The book is called Realism and Democracy, American Foreign Policy After the Arab Spring. Elliot Abrams, we certainly appreciate your being on the show with us. Good luck on the book.
Thank you.
I know you've written a number of other books, and we like what you write, and we're looking forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Yeah, love to do it. Thanks, Tim.
Take care. Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Interesting guy. He served under Reagan, Leo. Served under Bush.
Mm-hmm. George W.
That's right. Serious consideration to go into the White House here. I don't know what happened and all that. But in any event, a prolific writer and a great view of a complicated issue. You and I talk about this in the show. I read the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and I don't really have a handle on what we do in the, what role we should take in the Middle East.
Well, that's because it's a very complicated issue. I did some stories on this a few years ago, and in fact, there were some people that had gone into from the State Department had gone into after 9/11 to find out what it was, what the beef was with the common person against the U.S. And at the end of the day, you know what they found out?
What?
That we didn't really have a real problem with them until we started exporting our television programs to the Middle East.
Too much influence.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, it was too much disruptive to their culture.
That's a whole subject. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Hey, for Leo Honeycutt, Leo, have a good, great weekend. You folks listening, hope you'll be with us same time, same station next week here on the Common Sense Show. Our website is radiocommonsense.com. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
What's for dinner tonight? Tired of cooking the same old meals? Can I offer a suggestion? What about Cajun? That's right, Cajun. But wait, I know what you're thinking. Never tried it. Don't know how. Don't have all the ingredients. Well, I got some good news for you. Cajun Mike, host of Cooking with Cajun, has put together a step-by-step instructional video, along with the recipes on how to cook these iconic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and over 150 Cajun and Creole recipes. And it's now available to you. Just think, you can now cook the same dishes that are served in some of the finest restaurants in New Orleans. And listen to this. He will also deliver all the ingredients right to your doorstep. So what are you waiting for? To order your personalized instructional video along with the recipes, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. To order your home delivery, call 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. Yahee! And bon appetit!
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.